Well, good morning. What was your verse, youth? What were your verse? Where was it? What's the reference? 2 Corinthians 5:14. That's right. That's right. Just the youth, stand up for a second, please. All right, now turn around and show them your shirts. Turn around and show them your shirts. About face. They've been having D-Now Friday night, yesterday, all day yesterday, and into the night as well. And it's been an exciting time of worship and praise. This morning we had issues with the, it wouldn't even work. Any of this stuff would work. And so we got out all the hymnals and did that in the first service. So we're just going to do that again. We feel like that's what the Lord wants us to do. So we're going to do that. So has everybody got a hymnal? Can you see a hymnal? You know, if you're a Christian, could you share maybe if you've got one? And if you're not a Christian, then you don't have to do that. Can everybody see a hymnal? Good. All right, let's stand. If you need a hymnal, raise your hand. We still got some in the back there. Guys, watch for latecomers. There's some coming in over here too. Number 10. And we're singing all the verses. If there's 10, we're singing 10. Number 10, how great thou art. Let's lift our voice.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Where through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze.
Come on now.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
My soul, my Savior God, to thee.
more time, just the voices, just the voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Now can I get an amen to that? Amen. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hymn number 15. 15, come thou fount of every blessing, every good and perfect gift, James tells us, comes from the Father above. Here we go.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for above.
Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody.
Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We praise you that even though we are prone to wander, Lord, that your grace has captured our heart, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. Ask you to bless this service and bless this time as we uplift you, glorify you, and exalt you here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Welcome, church family. My name is Ryan Wicker. I'm the Associate Pastor of Education here at First Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome all of you here, especially if you are a visitor or a first-time guest with us today. We'd especially like to welcome you. If you'll notice on our bulletin there, there's a tear-off on your far right side there. If you would, just fill that out. Give us some brief information about yourself. We'd love to hear about your visit, be able to follow up with you. And you can put that in the offering plate as it passes a little bit later, or you can hand it to one of our pastors outside after the service back here at Guest Central or in the foyer. So we'd love to have a record of your visit. Also, there was not an announcement video this morning, but if there had been one, you would have saw Daryl Mackin, who is the president and the founder of a Soldier's Child organization. It would have been on the video. We are partnered with them this Christmas to do what they call their family-to-family Christmas program. And I know several of you all are maybe military families or have family members that served. So you know how important ministering to those military families can be this time of year. And so we've been tasked with sponsoring 150 kids whose parents are deployed through Fort Campbell with Christmas gifts this Christmas. And we did this last year. So if you'd like more information on how you might be able to sponsor a family, you can either go to our website. There's a link on the homepage at fbcdixon.org, or you can visit the table in the foyer after service today and actually begin going ahead and sponsoring families at Fort Campbell. So we'd love for you to be able to do that. If you have any questions, just see me or somebody at the table about that. So again, glad that you're all here. Welcome, everybody. Take some time and greet those around you this morning. Thank you.
to 333. 333. Leaning on the everlasting arms. 333. We're going to sing that one together, all three verses. Lift your voice and
what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
All right, turn towards the back of the hymnal. It's 609. It's not a song. It's scripture, Revelation. I was going to read from Revelation this morning until things got changed. So 690, Praise and Adoration, it is entitled. We're just saying, what have I to fear? What have I to dread? We know the answer to that if we know Jesus, right? Nothing, nothing. In fact, if you look in every book of the Bible, there's a command that says, fear not, fear not. So we're going to do Praise and Adoration, 690. I'll read the light print, and you read the bold print. This is the word of the Lord from Revelation. Fear not. I am the first and the last.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood.
And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne,
saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying,
Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
And all God's people said, Amen. He's going to reign forever and ever, and we belong to him. So there we are, right with him. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is ours. 334, blessed assurance. Let's sing that together. Bless.
assure us Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now on this next verse, I'm going to ask you if you have one of these shirts on, students and adults, or if you maybe you didn't get one, you should have gotten one. You know who you are. I want you to sing this second verse by yourself, and then we're all going to join you on the chorus, okay? Here we go, all the people in the shirts. Here we go.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Everybody now.
And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Everybody now.
Perfect submission, all is at rest, I am my Savior. Waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day.
Sing that chorus one more time.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
410. And our ushers, this will be the hymn right before we take our offering, just to alert you since you don't have an order. 410. Let's be seated on this one. Or if you want to stand, whatever you want to do, whatever the Spirit leads you, do it. It is well with my soul.
And has shed His own blood for me.
As we continue to worship, guys, if you'll come on up, we're going to receive our morning offering. Edwin Davis is going to lead us in prayer. So let's all still, we're still worshiping, folks. This is not a tag on or anything like this. We're still worshiping the Lord. We're thanking Him. We're blessed. You're blessed to be sitting here in this place. You're not in the hospital. You're not 6 feet under. You're blessed to be here this morning. So we, if you don't have anything to give, you thank the Lord where you are, where you're at right now. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Father, I love how you said in Hebrews, having therefore brethren boldness in the holiest by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that. We're completely in you. I appreciate your grace and mercy and your peace that we have. I thank you for your rest. I thank you for your divine love. God is love, and yet you're the most unloved person in the world. Unbelievable. And your most hated person in the world. It's sad, but I'm thankful for songs that we can sing that you are, it's well with my soul. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful you're our great high priest. And I'm thankful for the precious blood you gave for each one, even the ones that hate you. And I just pray right now, if there's anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray you open their heart and they would see. And I pray for each Christian that we'd stand up for what's right and you're right. And I ask us all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm proud of your name. You're the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, and you're returning. And I give you honor and praise in the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel your rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the angel.
when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I pictured slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Yes, you do, Lord.
In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn,
says I've only got a few months left. It's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Yes, you do.
My sails are torn. Your love surrounds me.
Your love surrounds me.
In the eye of the storm.
In the eye of the storm. When the storm is raging,
when the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone,
and my hope is gone.
When the flesh is failing,
my flesh is failing,
you're still holding on.
Ooh.
When the storm is raging,
the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone,
my hope is gone.
Even when my flesh is failing, you're still holding on. When the storm is raging,
the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone.
Flesh is failing,
you're still holding on, holding on.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for an incredible weekend with these students, Lord. Thank you for all the work and that you have done this weekend, Lord. We do come right now here, Lord, just realizing that you are truly God of the storm, Lord, that no matter what's going on in our life, you are God who can reach down from heaven and touch us and be with us no matter what, Lord. May we trust in you. May we hear from your word this morning. God, I pray that you would just speak to us, to our hearts, Lord. God, just transform us, Lord, by your powerful word as we listen to it. And I pray this in your name. Amen. I've got So, I mean, this has been an incredible weekend. For those who are here and you may not know what's going on, my name is Tim Hopper. I'm the youth pastor here. And this weekend we had a D Now weekend. That's a Disciple Now weekend. And basically, we basically took a huge group of students this weekend. I think a total, it was probably way over 100 students that we had this weekend. I don't know exact numbers, but it was amazing. It was incredible. And we took those students and we had an incredible worship service here at the church on Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. And we had a guest speaker come in and preach and speak to the students. And I promise you, he really brought the word and challenged us this weekend. And it wasn't just for students. Anyone who showed up, I promise you, you were blessed if you were here. And God did some work not only in there, but also in the host homes. The students went and stayed in host homes during the weekend. Several of you guys opened up your homes and allowed students to come stay there. And they had small groups there, Bible studies there, and just had great spiritual conversations there. And it was just an incredible weekend. And on Saturday, we did a mission project. And it was amazing. We took our entire group down to on a mission trip down to to a neighborhood here in Dixon. And we basically infested that neighborhood with us, with our group. And we went door to door, knocking on doors, just basically saying, can we serve you? Can we minister to you this day? We want to rake your leaves. We want to pick up your sticks. We want to just kind of clean up. And we went and just did that all throughout the neighborhood. We had several groups going around passing out Jesus films. Many of you may know what that is. If you don't, it's basically this film that they put together of Jesus. And they show this film all over the world. And many people have come to know Christ as a result of watching this film. And they had an adult version, which is kind of on our level so that we can kind of understand. But then they had a children's version, which really helped children kind of understand the big picture of the gospel. And so we took that all over the neighborhood and shared that out with people. And people were just blown away by this crowd. As you can imagine, if you looked outside your window and all of a sudden you saw a massive group of students walking around, you'd be curious, like, what is going on? And that's what it looked like this Saturday as we did that. And we talked to people and we had conversations. We had great spiritual conversations. You wouldn't believe how God opened doors as a result of us just coming and ministering in a practical way like that. And so that was an amazing thing we got to do on Saturday. And then this morning we got together, kind of wrapped up and talked about the things. And God did some amazing work in some of these students' lives. And we got to see and got to hear about some of the decisions they've made. And it's just been an amazing weekend. But there's no way that I could have done this by myself. There is a group and an army of people here that I want to recognize just real briefly this morning. If you helped in D-Now in any way, whether you're a host home, whether you brought food, or whether you're a leader, a small group leader, or any way or every way that you helped, please, would you just take a moment and stand up? I want to thank you so much for all that you did. So please stand. Thank y'all so much. But I also want to give glory to Jesus Christ because he showed up and he is the one that receives all praise and glory. And he was the reason why we did this weekend. So this theme for this weekend is about compelled. I talked to Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks is the Kairos pastor. They do a program on Tuesday night called Kairos, and he is the pastor for this, and this is at Brentwood Baptist Church. And every Tuesday night, they open up their doors and allow people to come in to worship at Kairos. And several of our students had been trying for years to get me to go with them to Kairos, having a wife with five kids, it's very difficult on a Tuesday night when you got to bathe them and clean them and get them to bed and do homework and all that stuff for us to go. And I've kept hearing how great it was and how wonderful these guys were, so I was like, well, I've got to check into them. So I made connections with them, found out a little bit more about them, and I immediately realized I want to bring them here. I think it would be a great opportunity for us to bring him here. And so I got connected with Chris, and we got spend time together talking about the weekend. And I got to share them my heart. I said, Chris, this is where I feel like where we are. I feel like this is where we are as a church, but also as a youth group. I feel like this is where we are. And I just kind of shared with him some of the, you know, where we are spiritually. And Chris said, let me take this and let me go and pray. And so he went and prayed, and he came back to me and says, Tim, this is what I feel like the Lord is leading me to do. It's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ compels us. He says, I feel like this is what God is leading to my heart to speak there this weekend. And so we took that, and that's the reason why we have this logo up here, we're compelled. And all weekend long, Chris was speaking to us about that. And so this morning, what I want to do is I just want to take some time to look at that verse. When he shared that with me, what I did immediately is went and studied the entire book of 2 Corinthians. I wanted to have the big picture and understanding of what exactly God was trying to say, not only in the verse of chapter 5, but also throughout the entire scripture. And so this morning, I'm actually bringing a much more broader perspective of what God's trying to communicate through 2 Corinthians. But I'm going to kind of give you a basic overview of what that is this morning. And if you listen, I promise you, I feel like God will speak to you this morning. So if you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We're actually going to be on the very first chapter of 2 Corinthians. And there's three things that I want to share with you through the book of 2 Corinthians as we go. The love of Christ, as we talked about, the theme is to compel us, but even before then, the love of Christ comforts us. The second thing I want to talk to you about is the love of Christ gives us confidence. And then lastly, the love of Christ compels us. And so we're going to be talking about the love of Christ who comforts us first and here in the first chapter. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." On Wednesday nights, our students, we are going through the book of 1 Peter. And I've been talking to them about 1 Peter every Wednesday night. And in that book, we see this people as a people who are suffering and under great and intense persecution. And in our study, we have learned that God is a God of mercy. And we've been talking about how much God is a merciful God. And it's amazing how when you start studying one part of scripture, all of a sudden you start seeing it everywhere. You start seeing God reveal it in every area. And so when I was studying 2 Corinthians, it was just popping out all over the place that God is a God of mercy. And right here in the very beginning, he says that the Father, God the Father, is a God, Father of compassion. And some translations, it is translated as compassion. Some is translated as mercy. I do think mercy is a better rendering of that translation. And basically, what the scriptures are trying to teach us here is that God has mercy for us who are going through this world with trials and troubles and tribulations. Just as we sung a while ago, many of us may be facing a storm. In the midst of that storm, Scripture teaches us that God is a God of mercy. So what exactly is mercy? Well, the definition in the dictionary basically puts it like this. It's basically that someone who has the power and authority to do harm, but instead shows compassion and kindness. Someone who has the power and authority to do harm, but instead shows compassion and kindness. Mercy is always connected with loving kindness. And God's divine mercy is always gracious, it's always unmerited, and it is always undeserved. And God's mercy has been given to us, for us who are going through world's trials and troubles and tribulations, and all of us who are in the middle of the storm. God is a God of mercy who gives us his compassion, his loving kindness to us. One scholar said this, it says that mercy is not getting what we deserve. Another scholar said this, he said that mercy is God using his divine power to change our miserable condition. God is a God of mercy. And through mercy, He brings us things. So what exactly does mercy do? So if we go to God and he's a merciful God, what does God do for us? Well, number one, God brings healing. God brings healing. Some of you may be here this morning and you've had difficult situations and difficult circumstances that come up to your life. And life is tough. Life is really hard sometimes. And some of you can share stories upon stories. Every single one of us probably can share stories of how life has been troubled or difficult or hard. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that God is a God of mercy. A God of mercy who shows mercy, and he can bring healing where there's hurt. He can also bring forgiveness. Sometimes we cause the afflictions upon ourselves because we sinned against God. But God in his mercy can bring forgiveness to our sins, to wipe away every shame, every guilt, every stain. So God is a God of mercy. Another thing that I've learned that mercy brings is a living hope. A living hope. Now, hope is not something in Scripture that we talk about as something that's maybe so, if so, hope so kind of hope. Hope in Scripture is different. Hope in Scripture is this idea of that you have this intense expectation of what is to come. When Paul uses hope, he doesn't mean hope like maybe I hope it happens. It's a hope of expectation. It's almost as if Paul has tasted a sample of what's to come, and he's just waiting for the full meal course to arrive. He knows it's coming. That's the reason why he says later on in this passage that his hope is firm. It's solid. It's not shakable. It's firm. Hope is firm in Scripture. It's solid ground. It's a strong rock to stand upon. And so mercy brings that to us in our life. When everything else is in storms, when everything else is crazy and chaotic, he is the solid ground. He is the anchor that holds us firm in place. God is the God of mercy, but he also connects it with comfort. Mercy and comfort. He goes on to say that God is a God of all comfort. The word there for comfort in the Greek has this mentality of someone who's coming beside someone and helping them. In Scripture, Jesus tells us, he says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light." Take my yoke upon me. It almost says this idea is us being yoked together. Students, what a yoke is back in the old days, like my grandfather's days, he would have he would have a plow, and he'd have either horses or sometimes ox or something like that sitting there, and he would put this thing around him to kind of pull the plow, and he would yoke them together, hook them together. And it's this idea of Christ coming along beside us and helping us through that. And so God is a God of comfort. He brings comfort, and he comforts us. Maybe you're here this morning, you're hurting. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your spouse ran out on you. Maybe you've got cancer. Maybe you've got some sickness or disease that has come upon you. Maybe you're here, you're sitting there this morning and you have, maybe we can't even fathom and even compare and even know what you are going through. But for many of you, all this time, you've been working and trying your hardest to fix the problem, ignore the problem, or hide the problem. And you get so wrapped up in other things. Some of you even do maybe even destructive things to your own body. Some of you maybe turn to addiction. Some of you may even be here and you've turned to other things, maybe other relationships or other things or people to satisfy or to give you some sort of hope or happiness, and all it's done is it left you with more pain and more sorrow and more hurt. Maybe you're here and you've been trying to drown it out by everything. In our world today, one of the biggest ways that we drown everything out is right here. We get on social media, we get on here and we study this and we look at this, we do everything on this to drown out the pain and the hurt that we have. This is not gonna take it away. And more times, those things bring even more pain and more hurt and more sorrow. You see, we need to cry out to God. because only God is a God who brings compassion, brings mercy, brings loving kindness to us in the midst of a storm. He's the only God who can truly comfort us when we're hurting. We've turned to these idols and these empty wells, hoping that they would satisfy us, when all along Jesus is the one who can fill us and heal us. We need to turn to Christ. We need to turn to Jesus because he brings comfort in our lives. And he does it because he loves us. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. So Jesus brings us comfort. Christ brings us comfort. But not only does the love of Christ bring us comfort, he also brings us confidence. If you will, take your Bible and flip over to chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. In chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." You see, we live in this world, and we have this world where we are continually being perplexed, we're being persecuted, we're being struck down, and Paul was writing these words, you'd think he almost was living in our day, but we have all these things that are pushing us down, but we also have Christ. We have the love of Christ, and when we have the love of Christ, he gives that confidence, knowing that no matter what we face in this life, he is with us. Some of us may have felt like he has abandoned us. Maybe some of us feel like that, where are you, God? I'm going through this most difficult time in my life. Where are you, God? And maybe we might have this idea that God has forgotten us, that he's abandoned us, that he has left us, and that we're all alone. But God's truth stands true. He is with us. He has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he walks with us, that he is there for us. The problem is that our eyes are so focused on our problem that we're not focusing on our great big God who is always with us. And if we look to Christ, knowing that his power and his ability to do anything, we can have confidence. Paul had confidence. Paul faced many tribulations, but through them all, he had an incredible amount of confidence. Even when he was in prison, even when he was almost left half to death, he still got up, he still pushed forward, because the love of Christ was giving him confidence each and every day to move forward. He didn't put his trust in himself, he put his trust in the Lord. And every day as he looked to the Lord, it gave him confidence to move forward. Too many of us put our own confidence in our own self. We need to put our confidence in the Lord. There's more scripture that talks about confidence. Look at verse 16. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And this issue here, we put our confidence not in this world, but we put our confidence in the eternity of what God has for us. So many of us try to build up our hope in this world. Some of you may be here and you're like, man, I'm trying to work so hard. I'm trying to get retirement. I'm trying to get toward a life that is just easy and is working hard. You're trying to achieve that in this life to get to a point where you can sit back and say, now I'm living. The scripture never taught us, and the scripture doesn't teach us, that we need to put our hope in this life. The problem, the reason why we're failing, is our hope is not of this world. Our hope is in what's the world to come and the earth to come, that God is going to create new and he's going to be with him in his kingdom forever. Our hope is not in this life. Too many of you are failing because you're putting the wrong hope in the wrong thing. Our confidence is not in this world. He didn't promise us that. He didn't promise us riches. He didn't promise us a great and wonderful life. He promised that he would be with us no matter what. And he promised us an eternal security with him forever. And that far outweighs anything this world can offer. The problem is we still look at the temporary things and we hold cling to them and we want those things to be so wonderful to us. And so we look to those things and we can't see the things that God has in store for us. It reminds me of the story of the rich man. There's a rich man who came to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus says, go take your stuff, sell it, and give to the poor and come and follow me. The rich man walked away sad because he was a very wealthy man. That rich man could not see that the worth of Christ and the value of Christ and following Christ was outweighed anything this world could ever offer. And for us, so many of us, we're in our life situations and we forget that God has something far out that's better than us. But if we can get that in our minds, it gives us confidence. Look also in verse five of this chapter, chapter five, it says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for him, for the things done while in the body, or whether good or bad. We have confidence, not in this life, but in the come, because God has given us his Spirit, and he has deposited it into us. God has given us his Spirit, and it's that taste of what's to come. It's that hope of looking forward, that firm hope of looking forward to what God is going to do. So my question to you is this: where's your confidence? Is it in your job? Is it in your abilities? Is it in what you can achieve? Or is it in Christ? Psalms 127 verses 1 through 2 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You see, so many of us are putting our confidence in ourselves, and we're working so hard to try to make it and try to survive and try to do it and try to achieve what we think is happiness and what is joy in this life, but it's not. True joy is found only in Christ. And unless Christ is in our life, we can't have confidence in anything. But Christ gives us the confidence to go forward and to live our life, not only in this life, having confidence knowing that he's with us, but also in the life to come. Do you have confidence in Christ? Let me ask another question. Do you have confidence of where you would be when you die? If you were to die today, do you have solid confidence that you would be in the presence of the Lord? How confident are you in your salvation? Because those who receive Christ for forgiveness of sin, he gives us a Spirit and he places in us, it's a seal upon us. It's a firm, fixed salvation. Do you have confidence of where you would be if you were to die today? Scripture tells us we can. If you doubt today, I plead, I beg you, come to Christ. But the love of Christ gives us confidence. He also gives us, the love of Christ also compels us. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, this is the verses that we kind of focused in on. I want you to follow along as I read this. In 5:14 it says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The love of Christ compels us. That's what we've been talking about all weekend. And gonna kind of recap this a little bit. This weekend, Chris kind of shared with us kind of what I understood about it, but I want to share for us as a large group. The love of Christ that compels us. Compel has this mentality of a push and a pull. It has this idea that Christ pulls us and pushes us. He pulls us from things and he pushes us from things. And he compels us to do things. One scholar said that it's a pressure that causes action. And so kind of get this, he's given us many illustrations, but I want to give you one more illustration. I know we got some hunters here. Some of you probably hunt with a bow. And if you have a bow, if you can imagine a bow and you got this bow and you got this arrow and you put it on here and you hold it up and you do this right here, it's pretty great, right? But it can't go anywhere. It can't do anything, right? I mean, if you're not a great bow hunter, if you don't know what you're doing with a bow, but I'm sure you understand this point, you can't really just take your hand and go and make the bow go, right? I mean, that bow would be like, blurp, you know? It won't go anywhere. The only way the bow can project and go forward is if you pull it back. And all of a sudden, if you pull back the bow and you got it, all of a sudden, you have a very powerful weapon in your hand that can do be used, right? And that's what God does for us. He pulls us back. And there's some things in our life that God wants to pull us back from. Sins and areas of our life that we are in sin and, against God from. And he wants to pull us back from those things. And only when God can pull us back from those things can he truly use us. And he can use us and launch us to where he wants us to be used. God desires to pull us and push us. There's another word that I wanted to share with you. Some translations may have translated it like this, control. Control, the love of Christ controls us. That's lordship. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord of your life. This idea of control. That means when you're surrendering to the lordship of Christ, he is in control of your life. Or at least he should be. I think so many times we've wrestled with God on that. He tells us to do something, but we're like, no, I want to take it from here. I want to do it my way. And you have this wrestling match with God over and over in your mind about who's leading and who's in charge and who's wants what in your life. And I think too many times we all sit in the driver's seat of our life controlling things rather than surrendering to God and allow him to have full reign of our life. Because it's scary. If you give full reins to God in your life, I mean, what will he do? Where will he send you? It's radical. It's transformational. It's different, right? If God had full reins of your life for one day, how different would your life be as a result of that one day? I think it'd be dramatic. But God desires to control our life, and we surrender that control to him, and that means we surrender to him as Lord. So what does it mean that he compels us? What does that mean? In verse 15, it tells us that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. To be under the control of God or to be compelled by God means that we live for him, that we're living for him, that we try to strive to please him in every way. What does that mean to live for him? That means every day we try to set our thoughts, our actions, and our heart upon him. We try to live a life to please him, to worship him by our lifestyle, the way we live. So we honor him and we live our life for him. But it also has this idea that we are to be a part of reconciliation. In verse 19, it tells us that he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does it mean to be reconciled? Reconciled means that God has restored a friendly relationship with us, that he restored our relationship. Scripture teaches us that we were once enemies of God. We were enemies of God, but God has restored that through Christ. The love of Christ has brought restoration and reconciliation. And God desires us to be a part of that, and he has called us out to be ambassadors for Christ. That means to represent Christ. We are ambassadors. We are to be sent out for Christ to share the love of Christ to others. That is what God has called us to do. And this whole mindset of being compelled, Chris Brooks said this thing, and it blew my mind. My heart sank when he shared this with me. He shared this story to us this weekend. He said, if God had answered all of your prayer requests this past month, every single one of them was a yes, how many people would be saved? That hurt. That was hard. That was a big gulp. I think we do such a great job of trying to be this good Christian, so many of us. We strive to do what's right. But I think when it comes to truly being used by God and trying to be truly ambassadors for Christ, I feel like the church has failed miserably. And it's not just our church, but churches for years and years have failed miserably at truly being what Christ is calling us to do. It's so easy for us to come in here and worship God, but it's so hard for us to take it out there. Statistics say probably somewhere around 1 to 2% of Christians share their faith regularly. And less than 10% have ever shared Christ with someone else. What are we doing? I tell you what, that burdened me that we need to get on our knees and pray. God said, pray for the harvest, pray for the workers of the harvest. And I desire that God not only transform my life, but to transform the lives of every person, not in this city, only in our city, but in this world. And we need to be praying that God not only transforms their lives and saves them, but that he would use us. He desires to compel us and push us and control us to send us out to be ambassadors for him. And when we do, it's amazing. It's powerful. When God all of a sudden uses you and you get the opportunity to share Christ with someone, it just, there's something about it that just fills you. It feels like you've accomplished something. It's that feeling that you've been launched to do something amazing. Do you feel the compelling need from Christ to be used by him and to serve him? Listen to God as he speaks to you in that sense. Now I want you to think about this, all three of these things. The love of Christ comforts us. The love of Christ has given us confidence, and the love of Christ compels us. All three of these go together because the love of God, because of his love that he initiated, not because we initiated, the love of Christ that he initiated because he first loved us. He showed us love, has comforted us. He brought us comfort and mercy. And when you have experienced the love and mercy of God, all of a sudden you are comforted, which then leads you to confidence. And when you have confidence in God, then you are ready to be compelled by God to serve him. And it's a cycle. And as you are compelled to God to go and talk to someone else, they are then comforted. They then find confidence. And then they find that they need to also be compelled by God to be sent to someone else. And then on and on and on it goes. It's this whole cycle. And God desires that. And if you're here this morning and you're hurting, God is a God of comfort. Maybe you're here this morning, you have shaky ground, you don't have the faith, you wonder what happens if I die tonight. You don't know where you would be. You can have confidence in Christ. You must simply come to him and receive him by faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you've just been stagnant in your faith. You've not really done anything. You can't say that, man, I have led someone to the Lord in the past year or even at all. The Lord is compelling you and he is pushing you and he is motivating you. He wants to launch you and he wants to use you. And it's incredible. He has given this. He desires to use us. And when we're used by God, we are launched. And it's an incredible feeling. And you will want to be launched over and over and over again. You want to be used by God. He desires to do that. Does the love of Christ compel you? What is he compelling you to do? Maybe this morning he's compelling you to give your life to Christ. There are going to be ministers right down here up front. We're going to be standing down here. If he is compelling you and asking and calling you out, I beg you, I plead with you, come receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Maybe he's just calling you out to be a prayer warrior. Maybe you need to get on your knees and start praying more, realizing that, man, I'm not praying enough for the lost. Maybe you're here and you're just like, I've been stagnant in my faith. I need to just serve the Lord more. I need to get involved. Maybe you're here and you're like, I've not had the confidence. I've been trying to put all my energy and effort upon me and trying to achieve my goals and my dreams, and I'm not putting my confidence in Christ like I should. Whatever it is that the Lord is leading you, I pray right now that you would do business with him and allow him to speak to you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, this morning I pray as we are here, and as we listen to your words, God, I pray that we would just acknowledge where we are. That we would just admit it, Lord. Lord, this is where we are. This is where we failed you. This is where we are. Because you already know it. God, we repent of that. Lord, forgive us for not looking to you and trusting you. Forgive us for not putting our faith in you. Forgive us of our sins. And may we turn to you, Lord. God, I pray that you would just start a movement here with our generation and with this church, God. I pray that you would just explode in this room, that you would call us out. And God, may we be a church that prays. May we get on our hands and face before you. Because you are the God who has mercy, who can bring mercy not only to us, but to this world, a world that is so desperately spinning out of control and who so desperately needs you. So God, I pray that this morning that we will be burdened for those who are lost. May we see them the way you see them, and may we be filled with compassion. God, I pray that every one of us in this room can say in our soul that it is well with my soul. If you can't, please respond to the Lord. God, we give you this service. Speak to our hearts. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 320. Let's stand together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's time to do business with Jesus this morning.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
We appreciate Tim sharing God's word with us this morning. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to read from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is our benediction. This is the word of the Lord from Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen.